We've been able to develop student leaders this year, which was something we didn't have last year. We've been gaining more adult leaders and volunteers to come in and help and invest in kids' lives. We've got just incredible, incredible things going on. I could sit and talk about it all day, I think. It has just been such an energizing and exciting year for me as the director, just to see what's going on and see how teenagers' lives are being impacted. So I would love afterwards to talk to any of you, answer questions, share some of the specific things that are going on. But man, it has been just such a phenomenal year. I'm just so thankful for the living room for being on board as a supporter, and thank you to those of you that have supported through prayer or financially or whatever it's been. I cannot tell you how much that means to me and how thankful I am for all of you. So thank you very much. So today, I wanted to talk to you about farming. And when I told my wife what I was going to talk to you about this week, she laughed out loud, which if I even tell my wife a joke, I can't get her to laugh out loud. So it was, a little bit satisfying just to hear her laugh at something that I had said, even though that wasn't the intent. My grandpa was a farmer his whole life. And a lot of times I had the opportunity to help him with different things. And I'll get into a little bit more detail about that in a few minutes here. So Jesus, when he was doing his ministry, oftentimes spoke to people in parables or stories. And so this is one of the stories that he shared. So a farmer goes out to plant some seeds. So I want to ask you a question. I want you guys to participate today. So please, if I ask a question, feel free to shout it out or give an answer. How many of you have ever tried to plant a garden? All right. There's a lot of steps that go into having a garden, taking care of a garden. Why do we plant things? Because your parents make you, okay. Good answer. All right. Good food. Cheap food. Very good. Very good. Good answers. What else? Healthy food. You know where it's coming from, right? When a person plants a tomato seed or a tomato plant, what are they hoping to get out of that? Tomato. Nobody ever plants a corn seed and expects to get apples, right? Nobody plants, a farmer doesn't go out and plant a field full of wheat and think that it's going to produce soybeans, for example. Okay, so I want you to just hang on to that thought for a few minutes. Why do we plant what we plant, and what do we expect when we plant certain things? So a farmer goes out and he's ready to plant his seeds. Now some of the seeds fell on the path. It was hard soil, it's been trampled down. The seed obviously can't go in. And the birds came and quickly carried it away. Now, what do you think, when Jesus is telling this story, what does the seed represent? Incorrect. It was incorrect. I'm just the word of God, right there. Okay. God's word. I'm sorry. Just, I came to relay truth.
I didn't take it that far.
I appreciate that. And I didn't mean for it to be. This is the last time I will be at the TLR. So the seed that falls on the path. This represents when people hear the word of God, but the evil one comes and takes it away. Okay, so think about that for just a second. Have you ever experienced a time when you tried to share your faith or tried to share the word of God with someone and they rejected it? Yes, I'm seeing heads nodding. Okay, yeah, it's something that happens. Did you take it personally? Yes. Okay. No, I'm seeing the shake. No. Okay, a couple yeses, a couple noes. when I've spoken to student leaders, when I've spoken to other adults about sharing their faith, about sharing the Word of God, one of the main reasons that I have heard, and this is just my experience, so this may be different, you know, if we took a poll across the United States, why people are afraid to share their faith, this is the biggest reason that I have found in my very small polling. Fear of rejection. We are afraid to share something that's important to us because we're afraid that people that we're close to or people that sometimes we don't even know will reject it. Rejection isn't fun. If any of you are sitting in here and you've ever been rejected for any reason, you know that it's not a good thing. Doesn't feel good. All right, so the seed that fell on the path was carried away by birds. It was carried away, the word of God, you spread it out there, and it was carried away by the evil one, rejected. Some of the seed fell on rocky soil. It quickly sprouted up because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came out, it scorched the plant because its roots were not mature enough. Okay, so this one, you see a little excitement. Okay, you see that the seed is actually starting to come up. Now, this represents the people who hear the message and receive it with joy, but they fall away quickly when they get distracted by life's problems or trials. Now, how many of you in here, raise your hand, be honest with me, please, have ever experienced a struggle? Wow, I think that was 100%. I'm not sure I expected differently, though. So, you've all heard of evangelistic, you know, revivals or these big rallies that take place. I had the opportunity a few years ago to work together with a bunch of churches in Columbus. And we did this thing called the Seven Project. And we brought in this group. And we came in and there was assemblies at every single one of the schools in Bartholomew County. All of the middle schools and high schools, not the elementary schools. And it was awesome. I mean, kids were responding. They were engaged. They were hearing truth. And we invited them back to an event on Friday night where they were going to hear an evangelistic message. And, you know, in talking with the Seven Project people through this whole process, they reassured us, oh, yeah, there's follow-up. You know, it's up to the individual churches to do the follow-up with their people. And, man, I tell you what, that Friday night, I was blown away. There were about 2,000 kids that showed up at this event. And the speaker was awesome. I mean, just absolutely incredible. And of the 2,000 students that were there, I would guess that about 80% came forward that night to make a decision to follow Jesus Christ. Holy cow. I mean, you're talking, like, just talk about energy, and my heart was just exploding with, you know, the potential for what this could mean. And in the months to come, you know, in talking to the people that had done the Seven Project and brought this in, you know, those people that came forward, you know, they connected. We had churches lined up around the outside so kids could come and talk to pastors and youth pastors and counselors and figure out how they could get plugged into a church. And as we went through that, we noticed that, you know, after the months went by, the excitement that we had kind of wore off. And those students who may have come to a couple youth group meetings, may have come to church a couple times, just stopped. And it hits home with this point that Jesus made. You know, the message was received with joy. And you could see that there was just that little bit of a sprout coming up out of the ground. But when problems came, trials came, conflicts came, you know, what a basketball practice or, you know, their favorite TV show was on, whatever it was, those roots, it was destroyed. And that's not to say that something couldn't come of that or they couldn't come back to that at some point, but you know, I would say in the end, we were a little bit disappointed in the end result of what we were after. And Youth for Christ, the organization that I work for, this is one of the main reasons that in the mid-60s, we went from the rally-based evangelism to relationally-based evangelism. You know, Billy Graham was the first full-time paid staff member with Youth for Christ, and he would go around and fill these huge venues and get amazing, incredible, huge responses. People would flood down saying, I'm going to make a decision to follow Jesus. But there's no follow-up. There's no accountability to that. And so what happened is Youth for Christ said, we need to have follow-up. We need to. We want lifelong followers of Jesus, not just people who get up one time and say, in the heat of the moment, in the emotion of that moment, because obviously there's a lot of emotion in that moment, and it feels good to say, I'm going to follow Jesus. But then as soon as something comes up, it's not there anymore. There's no root. Now next, Jesus goes on to say, some of the seeds began to grow, but it was mixed with weeds, and the weeds overtook the plant and killed it. Choked it out. The people in this category hear and receive the message and seem to have roots that have potential. And they're growing and thriving when the weeds of life, worries, and I find it interesting that he used this point, wealth as a distraction, come along. There's no fruit because the word is choked out. Now, for the past several years, Kelly and I have had a garden, and we've had some pretty good success with it. And I'll tell you what is the most frustrating thing to me is weeding a garden. I mean, you have to be vigilant in taking out the weeds. And from my understanding, I don't know, I haven't really asked Kelly this, but we've never planted weeds. And I don't think our neighbors are out to get us and they're like at night, in the middle of the night going out, we're going to get them and put weeds in our garden. They just come up, they take root, and they... We had a garden a few years ago, and we were going to leave on a two-week vacation. And when we got back, I mean, we had weeded it before we left, and it was in pretty good shape. When we got back, we were like, what happened? I mean, the weeds were this tall, and our plants were this tall, and it was 2 weeks. You got to be kidding me. So you have to be vigilant to take care of the weeds. You have to, I mean, every day you have to be out there. And obviously, the best way to get the weeds out is to take them up from the root. And even at that, they still come back somehow. I don't know how it works. Because we never water the weeds. We don't fertilize the weeds. But they're there. And they choke out the plant. If they get tall enough, they rob the plant of the sunlight that it needs. And it takes the water that the plants need. They're really stubborn. But we have to get to the root to really get them out. If you just cut off the top, they're going to grow back. They're going to grow back every time. Now, a couple of minutes ago, you raised your hand and said that you've had struggles. Have those ever gotten in the way of your relationship with Jesus? Okay. Have there been weeds that have come in and robbed you of the relationship that you want to have with Jesus? How can we take care of those weeds in our lives? Because some of those weeds are things that are just a part of life. I mean, they're not going to go away. You know, some people struggle with finances. That's not going to go away. It's always going to be there, right? So, for whatever the weeds are in your life, how can we take care of those? How can we tend those and make sure that it's not robbing us of the relationship that we want to have with Jesus? I'm looking for ideas. Okay. Right? Right? So we have friends, yeah. We need to talk afterwards. Right. Yeah, definitely. Thank you. Yeah. Okay. Interesting thought, yeah. Yeah, I mean, as we've experienced with our garden, if we weeded one day a week, we'd be in trouble. We wouldn't have any vegetables or fruit. Okay, thank you very much for and don't let that thought process stop right there. I mean, like I said, you know, and we need to continually be thinking about how we can take care of those weeds. This verse came to mind actually to me this morning, and I wanted to share it with you. Weeds have a way of making us anxious. You know, it brings a lot of anxiety, and this came to me this morning. It's Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And it's easy to be anxious about stuff. It's easy to be, you know, anxious about what's going on in life or circumstances. And sometimes I would even venture to say that we say, that isn't possible. There are things that I'm just going to be anxious about. But just a few verses later, Philippians 4:13, it goes on to say, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. So it starts talking about anxiety and don't be anxious about anything. And then it says you can do anything in the power of Christ. So take heart. You know, we don't have to battle it by ourselves. You know, and I'll talk about prayer in a minute too. But then we get to the last seed that Jesus talked about. And he said there's seed that fell on good soil. And it produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times what was planted. The good soil is the ones who hear and understand God's word and produce a harvest of fruit that is greater than what was planted. I mean, much greater than what was planted. I mean, if I planted one tomato plant and I expected to get, you know, a handful of tomatoes out of it in a year and it produced 100 times what I thought I was going to get, I'd be pretty excited about that. Just so we're clear, you know, we're talking about fruits and vegetables and everything. You know, what kind of fruit are we expecting to get out of someone's life if we're investing and planting the seed of God's word in their heart? Galatians 5, 22 and 23 says this. The fruit that we should be seeing in our lives and in others' lives is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's the fruit of the Spirit. That's the fruit that we should see. That's the fruit we desire. Some seed falls on the path. Some seed falls on rocky soil. Some seed falls or is mixed with weeds. But seed that falls in good soil produces fruit like that, and an abundance of fruit like that. So in my 11 years in ministry, I've had experience with all of these types of soil in people's lives. I've witnessed rejection. I've seen people turn away from their faith because of circumstances. My heart has been broken by friends whose lives are torn apart by the weeds of life and distractions that come about. But I will tell you what. I have shared in the incredible joy in seeing fruit come from planting the seed of God's word. When you see someone that you have invested in and you've cultivated a relationship and you see them hear it, accept it, understand it, and then go plant it themselves, there is nothing better, in my opinion. Amazing things happen. And I think that's what Jesus was talking about when he said the 30, 60, and 100 times what was planted. Because it's a multiplication. You know, and I would say it's pretty rare, my experience has been anyway, to see that kind of growth take place. It's really exciting to me, and I'm always amazed. Every single year that we have a garden, I'm always amazed when the plants start producing fruit. And you see all the work and the sweat and the everything else that's gone into it, the time that you've put into it, and you start actually picking the fruit from it. It just excites me, and it makes me want to do it more, and it makes me, and you know, a million times that when it's in someone's life. So I have a couple questions that I want to pose to you. First of all, why did Jesus speak in parables? You know, a lot of times when he was teaching, he would teach using stories. Why didn't he just say it like it was? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're exactly right. I had heard growing up, you know, Jesus spoke in parables because that's what people understood. But when I read further, Jesus responded by saying this. And a lot of times, the disciples didn't get it most of the time either. You know, these 12 people who are closest to him, they would come to him after he'd speak a parable and, Jesus, what did you mean? He said this, "You are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. But others are not. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given, and they will have an abundance of knowledge. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. That is why I use these parables. For they look, but they don't really see. They hear, but they don't really listen or understand." So he spoke in parables kind of to confuse people. That blew me away. I heard somebody say that a couple years ago, and it blew me away. Because my whole life, I had heard that Jesus spoke in parables because so people could understand better. That's not what he said there. So, second question. When sharing God's word with another person, and she refuses to accept the gospel, regardless of what type of soil you're dealing with, is it possible to improve the soil? What do you think? If the soil is that person's heart, is that possible to improve the soil? Absolutely. 100% without a doubt. That's one of the things that campus life does. We go into the world of the teenagers. We build relationships with them. We're cultivating the soil of their heart to earn the chance to plant the seed of God's word in their heart. Now, there's a couple questions that we have to ask when considering, can we improve the soil? Is it the right time? You know, if we went and tried to plant tomatoes in December, we're not going to see much fruit. At least not in Indiana. Has the soil been cultivated? Is there a relationship there? I've never been a big fan of just going out on the street and, you know, evangelizing on the street. Why not? Let's say somebody even makes a decision to follow Jesus. There's no follow-up. There's no accountability. You know, they could just be saying yes to me because they want to get rid of me. Probably the case. That's probably what I would do. What weeds are there that might be choking out the fruit? You know, are there circumstances in their life that are preventing the fruit from growing? You know, who knows what it is? Now, here's a funny one. Manure. Can be a good thing and a bad thing. Usually it's a bad thing. If I come across manure, like I'm running or something, and I see dog manure, I don't like it. I avoid it. It stinks. It's not fun to deal with, so I avoid it. However, manure can be used as great fertilizer. So if we think of manure as like the crap that we go through in life, see what I did there? It can be both bad and good. Depending on how we use that manure, it could be positive for our life, or it could be a hugely negative thing. One of my favorite coaches, besides my wife, is Rick Weinheimer. He's a coach for the Columbus North cross country and track teams. One of their big pushes for their teams is just being positive. And I got to sit in on one of their logbook sessions a couple weeks ago, and it was really cool because he said, there are things in life that we can't control. It was a nasty day out. It was like 35-mile-an-hour winds, and they were supposed to go out and do a really hard workout. He said, you can't control the weather, so make the best of it. So take your circumstances that you can't control and make the best of them. And control the things that you can control. You know, I can't control how my kids act sometime, but I can control the way I respond to them. Maybe I'm really frustrated with how they're behaving sometimes, but I can choose to respond in a loving way and in a caring manner. So make the best of the things you can't control, because there's a lot of them. Control the things that you can. So as far as the soil goes, a farmer, when they're getting ready to plant, works tirelessly to prepare the soil. You know, I used to help my grandpa out a lot when it came to his farm when I got old enough. You know, I would go out and I would take the backhoe and I would pick rocks for hours and hours and days trying to get the soil ready for the plant. I would help him dig tile to make sure that there was just enough water, like the drainage tile that goes through fields, because you want water, but you don't want too much water. If you have too much water, it drowns the seeds out. He hired me a couple times to go out into his bean fields after it had been planted, and I'm literally a field, and pull weeds. I wish they had iPods back then. Some boring days right there. Third question I have, last question I have for you. If there's so much potential for failure, is it worth it? I fear rejection. Is it worth it for me to plant the seed of God's word in a teenager's heart, knowing that they could reject me, reject him, reject everything that is about my faith and God's word? Is it worth it? I say without a doubt. Without a doubt. So no matter where you go, no matter what you're doing, plant seeds. God's word can always be on our heart. If you're doing it one day a week, it's not going to be enough. I say it's worth the time to cultivate the relationships, not just for the purpose of making a convert. It's not about that. It's about loving God's children enough to share his word with them. So, that's all I have. Do you guys have any other questions or discussion? Yeah. Thank you for sharing. Any other thoughts?
Hard to ignore me.